Well, Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing, how you are pouring out your Spirit around the world. Yes. And Father, in all of the churches, you are pouring out of your Spirit. Sometimes it's just a few individuals. Sometimes it's whole churches. But it's thrilling to hear the reports of what you're doing, the miracles that you're performing, and the lives that you're changing. Father, we thank you that you are giving dreams, and you are building faith, and you are speaking words that have to come to pass. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We praise and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord gave me this teaching, setting out on my deck as usual. I love to sit out there and just be quiet. A lot of times I don't even take my Bible because I want to hear the revelation and the scriptures. If I have my Bible, sometimes I'm too quick to run and start trying to look things up rather than listen to what Jesus is trying to tell me. And so I take notes, and I get all of the nugget down. I get all the information down. Then I do my homework. Anyway, this thing of appeal, which you know is a legal term. Now, appeal isn't first judgment. Okay? Appeal is after someone has made a judgment against you, whether it be a judge, a jury, or a person, or Satan, that now they have judged you and said you're disqualified or you're guilty or whatever. And sometimes it's your own heart. Because the scripture says even if our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our heart. So sometimes it's your own heart condemning you. After you have been condemned, then you can make an appeal. Now, you can't make an appeal without an advocate. That's like a lawyer. Of course, the word is even larger than that. The intercessor. Okay? Because this actual word here also means intercessor. So it's someone who is standing in behalf of another. Okay, we have two advocates. Okay, we have Jesus, who is our advocate with the Father. And so anything that needs to be taken before the Father, Jesus is the one that goes before the Father. Then the Holy Spirit is Jesus' advocate toward us. And so then the Holy Spirit becomes our lawyer, our attorney, or our intercessor when people are judging us and condemning us. Then we can make an appeal. And so basically what the revelation that I received was, what can we appeal to? Okay? And of course they're all listed here. We can appeal to the blood, we can appeal to the word. And so that's basically what we're going to go through, is all these different things that we can use to make an appeal. We all know better than to say I'm not guilty. I just don't work. Or I can handle it myself. I think I'll just be my own attorney. I don't work. Okay, John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. So he's there all of the time. Hallelujah. So that the Father is going to give you a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener and standby, that he may remain with you forever. whether you're awake, whether you're asleep, no matter what, he is there all the time. John 14:26, but the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you, and bring to your remembrance everything I told you. So everything that God spoke that was written down in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all written down 30 years and more after Jesus spoke them. And the Holy Spirit brings that back to remembrance. And of course, one of the thrills that I have as a teacher is those home meetings that I would have a lot of times on Tuesday mornings in different towns, just a bunch of women in a circle, and I wouldn't let them put the kids in the basement or in the bedroom or wherever. I said, I want the kids right here. Let them bring their toys and let them play right here. They're going to be just fine. Sometimes I'd have one on each knee and I'd be teaching. And to have those kids now are in their 20s, and I haven't seen them in all that time. And when I do see them, they say, you said, and they'll tell me word for word what I taught them.
Wow.
20 some years ago. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
See? Mm-hmm. That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, when we're in battle, the Holy Spirit is going to bring to remembrance things that scriptures that you read years ago, but in time of battle, what's just right there, just front and center. We used to say in the military, front and center, right there. Okay, appeal to the Father. Jesus then is our advocate, representing us to the Father. So whatever's coming against us. And I've actually just done this with people. Why don't you take it up with Jesus? And I walk away. I've had them actually want to fight me. I have their fist up, ready to go at it. I say, you really want to fight? Yes. Fine. I just walk away. See, you and Jesus have at it. I remember this one guy, he didn't come back to work for days. When he came back, I said, well, how'd you do? He said, you put a curse on me. Everything went wrong. My car broke, my lawnmower broke, my washing machine broke. And you put a curse on me. I said, no, I didn't. All I did was just let you and Jesus have at it. You know, how'd it work out for you? As Dr. Phil would say, now, how did that work for you? Okay, so we can appeal to the name of Jesus. Now, of course, the word Jesus means salvation or Savior. It's the same as Joshua in the Old Testament. We were talking about Jericho. So the Old Testament name Joshua, New Testament Jesus, are both the same thing. And so that the name, but it's not like there is magic in the name. We're not talking about magic here. We're talking about everything that God has put into that name. Jesus said, presenting all that I am. And it takes about an hour to list all that he is. And I'm sure then we miss some. But if we're going then before the Father and presenting all that Jesus is in our behalf, all that he has provided for us, we have a right to appeal. And our legal base is the name of Jesus. I can appeal by the right of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. John 16, 26 and 27. At that time you will ask, pray in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for it will be unnecessary. For the Father himself tenderly loves you, because you have loved me and believed that I came out from the Father. So it all starts with that base of belief that Jesus came from the Father. That intercessor has come, has died, was buried, resurrected, and ascended back to the Father. But look what John 14, 13 and 14 says. And I will do. I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name. In parentheses, as presenting all that I am in capital letters. So that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. Yes, I will grant. I myself will do for you whatever you ask in my name, presenting all I am. So when we speak in the name of Jesus, see, it's not like a formula like they would in Ephesus. They had formulas for everything, you know, with all kinds of witchcraft and everything. They would have these words, certain words that you would say. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about Jesus, who he is, and who we are because of who he is. And then we present that to the Father. I am a new creation in Christ. Yes. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Yes. Now, let them judge. Let them condemn. Let them say whatever they want to say. Then I say, but I appeal to the name of Jesus. And when we use the word in the name of Jesus, we're saying we're actually speaking to the Father in behalf of Jesus Christ. So when we're speaking, as far as the Father is concerned, that's the Son speaking to him and asking or requesting, because we're asking in his name. He's that advocate. He's that attorney, that lawyer. He's the one representing us, carrying that to the Father. And so I don't have to worry about shouting it loud enough, for instance, or getting it all exactly right. All I have to do is present the appeal. And Jesus puts the right wording to it and takes it to the Father. And so I appeal in the name of Jesus. Okay, I appeal to the blood. I know we cover this a lot, but it's so, so important. We know Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood. That blood dripped. When they put the spear in him, it poured out. Blood and water gushed out. Went on the ground. And so we think in terms of, if I can just make it to the foot of the cross, because the blood is there. But the blood isn't there. Jesus took it, and the scripture tells us in Hebrews, he put it on the altar of the heavenly tabernacle. And it's eternally there in my behalf. I can appeal to the blood at any time. And Jesus, being my advocate, will take that appeal to the Father. And the Father has the blood right there. 1 Peter 1, 17 through 19. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. I appeal to the blood. Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. Here it says it. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. I am redeemed by the blood. And that blood is there on deposit for you. And I've taught this more extensively. After Jesus' resurrection, Mary saw him in the garden and thought he was the gardener and went up to him. And Jesus said, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Because in the Old Testament, if she would have touched him, it would have polluted the blood. When they cleansed themselves, then they couldn't touch a woman for 3 days prior to approaching God. And so he said, "I haven't yet ascended." The 3 days have taken place, but he hadn't yet ascended to the Father. He was taking that blood to the Father, to the altar of the heavenly tabernacle, in our behalf.
In our high priest.
Yeah. He's that high priest of the tabernacle. Hebrews 10, verse 19. "Therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Mm-hmm. Our appeal is to the blood. People tell us, "Oh, no, you can't do that." Or, you can't enter in. You know. Or Satan will say, "Don't you remember what you did?" I said, "No, I don't.
But the blood of Jesus.
I appeal to the blood. Yes, I'm guilty. But I appeal to the blood. And I enter in boldly. Boldly. Because I'm cleansed by the blood." Colossians 1, 13 through 14. "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sin." Hallelujah. I appeal to the blood. I appeal to the blood. Okay? We can also appeal to the cross. Colossians 1, verses 19 through 22. "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." Who's our lawyer? Jesus. Who is taking it to the Father? Jesus. He is our advocate. Even when our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our heart. And what Jesus has provided is greater than all of our sin. And sometimes you get weighted down. And it's just like, how will I ever dig out? You know. And all you have to do is say, "I appeal to the blood. And I appeal to the cross. See? I appeal to the Word of God." And the intercessor, Jesus Christ, the advocate, says, "I'll take care of it for you." You know, there are people that are mad at us. I remember Chuck Colson, you know, with the Watergate thing, and how mad people were about that. Here he committed this horrendous crime, and just because he's become a Christian, he's not guilty anymore. That's right. He's not guilty anymore. You know, but people are furious. You can't get off. You can't get off.
Yeah.
But I did. You did. Hallelujah. 13 through 15, Colossians 2. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having nailed it to the cross. I appealed to the cross. Hallelujah. Having disarmed principalities and powers, that's what will happen. When you start to appeal, you disarm them. You disarm all principalities and powers and everything that is against you. Everything that's judging you, everything that's condemning you, you disarm them. It's kind of like when people are mad at you and you say, I'm really sorry, will you forgive me? It disarms them.
Yeah.
What are they going to do now?
I've done that.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Or people that have offended us and we say, you know what? I forgive you. It disarms them. They don't know what to do.
Exactly right.
Taking it out of the way, nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I love that. See, it's not just a little win. It is such a win that it is open for everyone to see. Appeal to the resurrection. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That was one of the Apostle Paul's favorite things, was to appeal to the resurrection. Fact is, that was his main sermon, was he preached Christ and the resurrection. Christ and the resurrection. Christ and the resurrection. Because that is our appeal. Yeah, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you can't get past the resurrection. See, people say, but the dead aren't raised. But Jesus is raised. I appeal to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts 3:26. To you, first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. People tell you, you'll never change. You'll never be different. And I say, I appeal to the cross. I appeal to the cross. Hallelujah. Romans 4:23-5:2. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed, that is, actually put in our account. That word impute is a little bit hard sometimes for people to get a hold of. And the best way you can break it down is it came out of Jesus' account and was put in our account. If you had a bank account and you didn't have any money in your account, and they took the money out of their account and put it in your account and said it's your money, that's imputed, okay? To us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. How often we've been judged, disqualified. I remember when God called me to start the Truth for Youth House, working with drug addicts and motorcycle gangs and all that. And they just flat out, I mean, spiritual people, men of God, said, you can't do that. You've never been a drug addict. You don't know how to talk to drug addicts. You know, you've never been in the motorcycle gangs. You've never been into all of the drugs and the alcohol. And I said, Jesus hadn't either. As far as I know, Jesus wasn't in any of that. And he seemed to do a pretty good job. And so I appeal to the resurrected Christ. I appeal to the resurrection. Not what I can do. I appeal to what God did when he raised Jesus from the dead. And God did great things. Yes! Hallelujah. That was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised, look at it, for our justification. The word justification there means a new start. Therefore, having been justified by faith, now we're past that, see, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Notice in each one of these things, you're judged, you make your appeal, but it never ends up not guilty. It always ends up in such a defeat of the enemy, so overwhelming. You'd think after a while Satan would say, you know, this is a losing cause. I mean, if we could just get off with being not guilty, you know. Well, finally, I know who I am because Jesus made me to be. You know. But it's never that. We're going... That's just a passing through. We get on the other side, and Jesus calls it being an overcomer. This overwhelming victory. So much so that we end up defeating the enemy all around us because we've been set free. Appeal to the will of God. Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God has a plan. And in Philippians 2:13, work in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Not my will, but your will be done. And so when Jesus is acting as our attorney, when he makes this appeal for us before the Father, see, you got it? See, he's doing that according to the will of God. He's not standing up there and saying, well, I told them to do this, but they did that. And, you know, Father, it's just a real mess down there. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I tried. You know, I really did. Jesus don't do that. He appeals to the Father. Father, I know what you called them to be. And I appeal to you according to what your will is, not according to what they're doing.
Yeah, that's good.
Whether they've obeyed, disobeyed, whether they got it right, didn't get it right. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we don't get it right. And sometimes... With me, I don't know whether I got it right or didn't get it right. Appeal to the promises. Because this is one of the things we do most, I guess. You know, from the time I was a kid, we had the little promise boxes and things like that. But it says, for all the promises of God in him, that is in Jesus Christ, are yes. And in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. So it's when those promises are being worked out in us, because Jesus being our high priest, when we are quoting the Word of God and speaking these promises, Jesus is taking these and presenting them to the Father. And so I appeal to the promises. And what kind of ruling do I get? What kind of answer do I get?
Yes.
Yes. See, I have a right to appeal. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I appeal to the promises. Father, this was your idea. I change it a little bit. Because people have so misused the word promise, even when we promise each other, are we really promising? No. But if we know the will of the Father, and we know the promises of God, see, then we can actually appeal to these promises. Father, this was your idea. See, this is your idea, not my idea. This is what you promised. This is, you know. So I love to just speak it that way. God, this whole thing was your idea. And you told me about it. All I'm doing is presenting it back to you. See? A lot of times people try to trap God by, well, your word says, and therefore you promised, and therefore you have to do. And God said, I don't think so. Well, but if we say, I am in Jesus Christ, and this is your idea, this is your plan, this is all your setup, and I'm just participating in that, Father, can I have? Yes. According to your word, according to your promise, yes. And by the way, that's 100% of the time. That's not maybe. That's not every once in a while. You got to get that in your heart. If you're dealing with the promises of God correctly, it's not sporadic. It's 100%, 100% of the time. Appeal to the mercy. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and onyx and cumin, but have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Luke 18:38. Of course, you understand I couldn't put the whole story in here of the blind man. But he cried out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, anytime Jesus is mentioned as Son of David, the word mercy will always be tagged on. You will never find them separate from each other. Son of David, have mercy. We can appeal to mercy. And of course, as I've told you before, but mercy is a legal term in the United States government. It is for any law enforcement, any court that you go to in the United States. But you cannot appeal to mercy unless you plead guilty. You have to plead guilty to appeal to mercy. I'm guilty. Have mercy upon me. And for all the people shouting at you, guilty, 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 say, you're right. But I appeal to mercy. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, he's rich in mercy. Always ready to show mercy. Why? Because of his love. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I appeal to mercy. I appeal to God's mercy. And then appeal to the Word. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If Jesus appealed to the Word of God, then we can use the Word of God as our appeal. If he's God, if Jesus is God, and he appeals to the Word, by the way, you can look every one of these up. When Jesus said it is written, you can go back in the Old Testament and find it. Mm-hmm. He's not just talking. He's going back relying on what was inspired to be written in the Old Testament, and he's quoting it. He could have just said, I'm the Son of God. Yeah. But he didn't. Why? Because he's showing us to appeal to the Word of God. It is written. It is written. And that's our point of appeal. Matthew 4, 6 and 7. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, even Satan quotes the word, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in his hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, appeal. It is written again, appeal. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Matthew 4:10, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.